on sand and silt.
Right.
You know, a friend of mine does construction in Vancouver, and I saw him probably a year or two ago, and I asked him what he was up to, and he was working in Richmond on condo buildings. And I said, oh, well, I didn't think that you could build condos in Richmond. How do you guys do that? And he goes, well, they drive pylons down into the silt and then build on top of that. And I said, how's that working for you? Does it work good? And he looked at me and goes, don't ever buy one. Don't ever move here. And I'm like, what do you mean? And he goes, he was down in the bowels of this big building, and they had these massive pumps, and they were pumping out the water from the freezer in the basement. And he said there's no way. They had like 10 or 15 pumps. They couldn't keep up with the water. There was so much water.
This is a constant thing, you're saying?
Oh, yeah. He said, so then basically what they do is they build the building, seal it all in, and that kind of stops the water from coming.
Right.
But he said at the time, it's like, He had no faith in the pylons. He thought it was just absolutely crazy. And I mean, he was just doing his job, but he thought it was ludicrous that they were building there.
Well,
and that's a guy working on the site who's built buildings all over BC for the last 40 years. So,
well, you know, I mentioned the Kansai Airport in Osaka.
Right.
That's not very old. It was started when I lived there and finished after I left. So I used it a few times, but they say that's sinking.
Oh, really?
And they have. They have a whole series of I'm not sure how they have it underneath, but there's sort of jacks that are computer controlled to kind of keep things level, you know.
Right.
But it is actually sinking, and I guess it's something they have to deal with in the future. Maybe they'll have to put a dike around the airport down the road. But.
So the only spot on Salt Spring I think that we could probably sink might be Centennial Park.
Oh, was that built on marsh or something?
It's built on fill. They filled in the harbor to do that, yeah. So I think it's like you said, we'll be pretty safe here on Salt Spring.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And most of our houses are, we don't have any, it seems to be those 10 to 15 story condos that are the worst hit. They say the 50 story buildings, you know, they sway at such a slower rate, but it's those 10 to 15 story ones that seem to get really damaged.
Yeah, and I knew people that were in high rises too,
really?
And it's in the big quake there. And,
right.
Their high rises were fine, but I mean, it was just terrifying because if you're up on a higher floor, you know, you're getting whipped.
I bet you they moved out after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a lot of vacancies.
So you get a nice view, but if there's an earthquake, you go for a nice ride too.
Well, you know, I was watching a David Suzuki show a while ago, and he was saying how, you know, the GDP figures are kind of skewed because if we had something like a big earthquake, I mean, would it harm the economy or would we end up spending so much on all the infrastructure projects, all the rebuilding of everything, all the new houses? Would it actually be good for the economy? And it's something that, economists debate this all the time. You know, it's a hard thing to figure out.
Yeah, well, it's the case with past wars, I guess. After the war, there's a big boom, isn't there?
Yeah. So it's not that we're hoping that there's
no
earthquake.
No, of course not.
No, of course not. But do be prepared. I mean,
that's
Kerry,
right.
I've got a right here guest live on the radio. He's lived through the big one, and that's his story on the earthquake.
Absolutely.
Okay, when we come back, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about Salt Spring Island real estate. I don't know how we got on the earthquake subject, but it was quite interesting. Just wait, we'll be right back if we play these ads from our valued sponsors.
If you're thinking of selling your Salt Spring home, call Scott Simmons, Salt Spring Realtor for 1% Realty Vancouver Island. Over the last 2 years, I've sold 18 homes and my clients have saved literally thousands of dollars in commissions. Why pay full commissions? Sell with 1% Realty. Call Scott Simmons at 538-8316.
These are some facts about water we have found.
About 30 million people in Africa don't have access to enough clean drinking water.
Someone taking a 5-minute shower uses more water than a typical person in a developing country uses in a whole day.
Without food, you can live for weeks. Without water, you can only expect to live for a few days.
We should stop wasting water.
This message has been brought to you by the Water Drops, Guardians of Ganges Creek.
Hello, Salt Spring Island. It's Scott Simmons with 1% Realty, Vancouver Island, doing my radio real estate show, and I have a guest in the studio today, Kerry Bell, who was just recounting his earthquake story from when he lived in Japan. And that was quite an interesting story. I mean, earthquakes, You know, it's like the island. I didn't realize there's fault lines that run right through the island.
I wasn't aware of that. And I had a property listed
down on Booth Canal, and I had a YouTube video, and I had a client, a customer, a person sent me an email saying, oh, I just watched your video, and I've been going through all the geological stuff, you know, maps, and I realized that you were standing right on the fault line, because it slices right through the island, basically through Booth Canal, and right through there's a fault line.
And where does it extend beyond Salt Spring? Where is it coming from?
It basically goes straight across to Vancouver Island, the Mount Sicker towards Duncan, just north of Duncan. But it cuts basically through Booth Canal and right across through to Ganges. So what could happen is the island could pass each other. You know, the north half of the island could take the big leap forward, and the south half. You know, Salt Spring's almost like three islands. You know, when I try to explain it to clients, I always say, if sea level was up about 25 or 30 feet, we'd have three salt springs. One in the middle, one in the south, and then one in the north. You know, the bottom island, there's not much down there. People living along Isabella Road, Musgrave Landing. You know, the middle island has Fulford all the way down to Kings Road, Ruckel Park, and then up through to, you know, up Rainbow Road and Mount Erskine. And then the north island is basically where mostly all the people live.
Is that because in the south?
Oh, let me turn on your mic. That'll
help. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Is that because in the south they're owned by logging companies in the past, or are they now? Or what's
I think it's just more remote. You know, it comes down to the interesting thing is Hugh Greenwood did that geological survey of Salt Spring Island.
Okay.
And he put on a seminar about a year ago after he finished his map, and it's a really detailed map of the geological formations of Salt Spring. And the old pioneers that came here, they didn't have Hugh's map, but what they had was they were agrarian farmers, and they stuck their picks in the ground, and they realized the south half of Salt Spring is solid granite rock, and the north half is a glacial till.
Oh.
So the north island is actually all glacial till. It's called a Nanaimo till, and the nice thing about that is if you're a farmer, you really don't want to try farming on solid granite.
Right, right.
I mean, you know, go down to Ruckel Park and kick the ground, and usually there's a, you know, an inch or two of topsoil, and then you're right on a huge, massive granite rock.
Huh.
So ideally, you know, if there's a few strips of nice soil in the south, you get the Fulford Valley, a few other places, but most of the farming, the land was more suitable to farming was in the north end of the island.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just look at the north end, it's more, you know, it's more genteel, rounding hills, and you get down to the south, it's jagged rock, you know.
Right, right.
You know, as soon as you go for a hike, like up any of the trails in the south end, you just see the massive rock, and all the houses are perched on the rock, you know.
Huh.
So there's a real difference between, you know, the south end and the north end of Salt Spring Island, other than the fact that they wear, rubber boots. The old south end stories.
And, you know, it'd be harder drilling for wells, but is there a good source of water, despite the rocky?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know if Albert charges more to drill in the south half, but, I mean, I'm sure his drills, you know, go through it, and he drills wells down there. But the north half is just different, totally different.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the north half has been developed over the last, you know, 130-odd years,
mm-hmm.
where the south half was never really, you know, it was, like you said, more logging companies, wild tracts of forest, ecological reserves. I mean, it just hasn't had much development. Just because of the topography and the actual geology of the land played a big part of it.
Right, right. Oh.
So now you've had two places on Salt Spring Island, hey, Kerry?
Well, back in 2001, I owned a place.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Right, right, right. Yeah. Where was that?
That was on Churchill.
Oh, on Churchill.
Yeah, and so that was a small cottage, and this is a...
Whereabouts on Churchill was it?
About midway.
Okay, on the left or right?
On the left.
Oh, okay. One of the little houses along there?
It's a very small cottage, and it was actually cut out of... way back when it was cut out for maybe a home for an in-law or something, you know, and then eventually they cut it out to be a separate property.
Okay.
But I bought it from a group of people who used it as a summer cottage.
Oh, so you bought that in what year, 2000?
2001.
Oh, okay. And when did you sell that?
And it was a couple years after.
Oh, okay. And this was after you came back from Japan.
I was still in Japan at that time because I'd when I bought the property, there were a number of families who owned it, and there were a husband and wife in that group who contacted me after I bought it, and they said they really missed it, and if I ever decide to sell, please contact them first, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So I ended up selling it back to them a couple years later, and...
Did you, same price, or did you...
No, the market had shot up. They actually still got a pretty good deal. I think I probably could have got more if I listed, but I mean, it was easy for me and easy for them.
Did you ever go there, or did you...
I put a camper on, because I did have a tenant.
Oh, okay.
And so I stayed there. But I did stay there in the house before, when I was in between tenants, too.
Oh, so you rented it out. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
When you were in Japan, you
Yeah, because I was living in Japan.
Oh,
but
okay.
Actually, a good point for people out there, with the way the housing market is now, in 2001, it was actually a bit of a downturn. I don't know if you recall. But
right. That's when I bought my place.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. And so...
I couldn't afford it now.
I was out here, you know, just visiting the coast from Japan, and I just thought for fun, ask a realtor to take me around and just check out properties, and he knew that my situation, but he had time and he was happy to take me around, and so.
So now mentioning any names, who was it?
That was Tom.
Tom. Okay.
Yeah, Tom Navtrill. How do you say his last name?
Navtrill.
Navtrill. Yeah. And
not that we're advertising Tom.
Yeah.
Tom's a good guy. I like Tom. Tom.
Yeah, he was good. And so I. He took me around, showed me some places, and this was the last place we saw, and I really liked it. And so I said, well, you know, I live in Japan. The banks won't touch me here for mortgage. Could we do owner financing? He said, sure, you can. All they can do is say no.
Right.
So we drew up an owner financing contract offer.
Right.
And they accepted it. Well, we worked something out, and they get a bit more interest than the bank would get. Just, you know,
right.
Make a bit of a deal for them. And I had a bit of a down payment. But I... actually, I had to scramble to get what I needed for the down payment, but it got me into the market, you know.
Well,
and
that
was, and then a year later, I had a track record of paying a mortgage.
Right.
And then the banks, even though I was in Japan, the banks would give me a mortgage. And
oh,
so
really?
I paid them in full, and I was on my way. You know?
Oh, the Canadian banks would give you a mortgage after you ordered
After they
the
saw
year.
I had a track record in Canada of paying.
Plus, the prices at that time had shot up, so then you probably had more equity in the
That's
place.
That's right.
Too. Yeah.
That's right. It was worth more, too.
So what'd you pay for the place?
Not
that we're asking.
I paid $175.
Wow. It's and too bad there's not houses on Churchill now for $175.
Yeah. And then I sold it maybe less than 2 years later for about $240.
Wow, that was a nice little
So
joke.
It was shooting up. And then at that time, I bought a building lot in Tofino.
Oh, right.
And I hit that just right, too, because that was very cheap. And I paid $69 for a view lot.
Oh, that's nice. That sounds a good deal.
And less than 2 years later, it was worth over $200,000.
Wow.
That's how crazy the market was going at that time.
Yeah. No, I mean, from about 2001, the market was just on fire, to about 2007.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a massive increase.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, you know, you could buy anything and make money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could, you know, well, what's the worst lot on the island in the worst location with the worst house on it? I'd like to buy it, and I'd like to pay too much, but I'm not too worried because, you know, I'll sell it next week for more.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, that was the philosophy of the time. I mean, just buy it. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter if it's falling down. Just buy it. Oh, they're asking that much? Offer more. Buy it.
Right.
And, you know, those days are over now. It's a slower market now.
Much slower, yeah. And during that time, too, I also bought a house in Hawaii.
Oh, did you really?
And that was on the Big Island.
So were you laundering money through your Swiss bank account?
Well, it's because I had... Well, I had the...
Oh, I see. When the earthquake hit, you went by and did a few deposits at a few banks and had the safes cracked
Yeah,
open.
That's right. Yeah, just cash
liberated the gold out of the safes. And, oh, okay, I get the story now. Right. We've got it figured out.
But I had... But I just got in by the skin of my teeth there, too, because I'm a Canadian living in Japan, buying something in Hawaii, you know. But I had the house...
On what island?
On the Big Island. It was in Kohala, the north part of the Big Island. And
that's a nice spot.
That is a nice spot. I mean, there's much cheaper areas. And I actually own a small lot with a friend in the south part now, which is much cheaper in the volcanic area. Which
right.
You can get real bargains there. But the north part is very... it's a great area. And so at that time, I had my job in Japan, and I had a track record of working steady as a teacher. And then I had the house in Canada. And so I went to the realtor I worked with there, he says, well, you know, he actually found this place before it went on the market.
Right.
And he says, well, this is coming on. We'll go have a look. You know,
so it was actually, like the old slave listing.
Hey? I got it before it went on the market. You know? Yeah, just, and it was a real bargain. And, right.
So was it a house and a lot or a house and a lot?
Pardon me?
A house and a lot or a house?
House, yeah.
House, lot?
They actually called it a condo, but it is a separate house.
Okay.
It's like a lot that's divided. So two houses on one lot. And they
was
call
it
a
on
condo.
Leased land? Because in Hawaii, a lot of the land is leased.
No, this I own.
Freehold.
This
one. Oh, okay.
Yeah, freehold.
Yeah.
That's right. But to get financing, I had my realtor direct me to someone who's an expert in that. And he searched a lot of places and only one place in Indiana would give me a mortgage. So I squeaked in by that one.
You know, those mortgage brokers from Indiana are just great folks. You know, let's give them a good plug. Right. You know, if you're looking, if you're living in Japan, you're working as a school teacher, you want to buy a place in Hawaii, go to Indiana and you'll get a mortgage. Now, unfortunately, the bank's out of business at this point, but hey, at the time, they were great.
But, you know, I guess a lot of people think they don't have a chance to get into real estate, but
right.
There are unique ways to get in.
So what did you do with the house in Hawaii? Did you rent it out?
I rented it out, and my realtor was a really nice guy. He actually helped me because she paid her rent, you know, but I mean, she was a single mother and she had her troubles with getting out of work, you know. And he helped her out with different things. It was really nice, you know, because I was living in Japan, you know. And but anyway, I had a tenant,
right.
But I had at that point I'd been in Japan about 10 years, and I'd kind of had my feel of Japan,
right.
And you're either going to stay for life or you're out. It was in that period, and I decided I want to get back to Canada, and so I should have hung onto that house longer, but I sold it within 6 months and I made $40,000.
Well, that's not bad. I mean,
yeah, that's how fast it was going up there.
Right, you know? right.
But I would have, the thing is, I would have, I paid a lot of tax because I didn't keep it for a year.
Oh, right.
And, but still, I came out okay. But so I didn't own the house very long, but it helped because I was coming back to build a house in Tofino.
Right.
So that's why I had to sell, or that's why I wanted to at that time.
So you were in Japan for 10 years, and was it quite interesting?
It was very interesting, yeah.
People are really friendly, nice.
There's a big expat community there, so you got friends from a variety of English-speaking countries and others as well. But because of the earthquake, you know, I didn't anticipate to be there that long. I thought I'll try it for a year or two. But after the earthquake, a lot of jobs opened up because people left.
So there goes that debate again. Are earthquakes good for the economy?
There you go. You know,
a lot of people left. Hey,
yes.
They lost their accommodations, or
Or they were just freaked out. You know, they want to get out of this place. You know, after the huge quake. But
people always think another one's going to hit right away.
Well, there were a lot of aftershocks.
Right.
Yeah, and there was some damage from those too. But you know, I got into junior high, and then I got into high school, and then I got into college jobs.
Oh,
so the situation really improved for me quite a bit.
Does the pay go up as you move up in the school a little bit?
It does, and the benefits, you know, because there's vacation pay, and then you get summer off and this type of thing too.
Right.
So it was good gig.
Oh, so these were accredited school. Like sometimes you see the ads, and they're kind of bogus. Like, you know, it's teaching, and they're not.
I started off, kind of like a McDonald's English school, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes you see the ads and you go, it's just this kind of flaky little, you know, move to Malaysia, teach English, make $10,000 a month.
Right.
Yeah, right.
But it's a good introductory to that.
Right, so that's how you got your foot in the door.
Yeah, and then there's all foreigners working there, and they've been there a while, or most of them have, and they can
show
you the ropes.
So are you an accredited teacher?
No, I'm not. they require that you have a bachelor's degree.
Oh, okay.
At least.
Sure.
And they don't care what it's in. So they just want you to have some university education.
So what was your degree in?
In theology.
Oh, there you go. Well, there you go. So that sets you up really good.
Yeah, you got it.
Well, theology, you're studying all different aspects of. My brother's got his master's in theology.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of an interesting, well-rounded degree.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
And I got in the university, it's hard to get a full-time university gig. But,
oh, yeah.
But you can get, there's a variety of schools. Like, I had three universities I taught at.
Oh,
and
really?
So I would go to certain days, I'd go to different jobs, you know. And so it was quite interesting, you know.
Right.
Yeah. And so each one had their own way of.
And it's pretty advanced English you're teaching, actually.
Well, no, actually, there are some classes that are advanced, but for the most part, it's basic English. Even in university, it's kind of like they're studying.